Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. The sermon title this morning is Wisdom and the Wise. Wisdom and the Wise. You know, we all need wisdom, and I covet your prayers for wisdom. I've asked the men in the last prayer breakfast for wisdom on dealing with some ministry things going on. There's a lot of things going on in the world that you would never have thought possible before. And folks, we need God's wisdom to deal with this. Amen. You know, here are some modern proverbs, and here's the key. You can say wise things and not be wise yourself. You could be pretty smart with book knowledge, you'd be dumb as a box of rocks. But the issue is here are some modern proverbs. Now, what is a proverb? It's a short saying or a pithy statement that reveals a general truth. And there are truths in these things that I'm going to read right now. A skeptic is a person who, when he sees a handwriting on the wall, claims it's a forgery. We've heard that all through this last couple of years. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. That's a true statement. God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. If the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you can bet the water bill on that side of the fence is higher. It's all right to sit on your pity pot every now and again. Just be sure to flush when you're done. It isn't difficult to make a mountain out of a molehill. Just add a little dirt. Sorrow looks back, worry looks around, and faith looks up. Standing in the middle of the road is dangerous. You will get knocked down by the traffic from both ways. The best way to get even is to forget. The mighty oak tree was once a little nut that held its ground. The tongue must be heavy indeed because so few people can hold it. Think about that one for a while. Okay? Words are windows to the heart. You'll notice that a turtle only makes progress when it sticks its neck out. True. A turtle on a fence post didn't get there by himself. And then lastly, you have to wonder about humans. They think God is dead and Elvis is still alive. But there's more truth to that than you want to believe. See, we're always looking for wisdom. You know, wisdom is about who you are and what you believe versus what you say. There's a lot of people out in the world today that say a lot of great things, but probably they didn't write them. And they probably are saying the things to make it and to make an appeal to the crowd of that time. But what is true wisdom? Wisdom is defined as the ability to use knowledge in the correct way or the right way. Now, when you think of wisdom in the Bible, you think of God first. But you always think about the wisest man who was what? King Solomon. Why was Solomon so wise? Because he asked God for wisdom at the beginning of his reign. In way of background, you can find out what Solomon asked God for in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. You know, if you had a magic genie, what would you ask for? Most times you would ask for what? Money. Or you would ask for health. Or you might ask for, you know, good friends. Or you might ask for a good job or a great house or riches or a new car, whatever the case may be. You know something? Solomon had that opportunity to ask God for whatever he wanted. But in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1, this is what happened. It says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask, what shall I give thee? And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me reign in his stead." Here's the point about Solomon. Solomon's daddy was David. Solomon's mom was Bathsheba. You know what happened in that story. You know, God can use you even when things get messed up. And here's the offspring of David and Bathsheba, and he's now the king. All those other ones, they're not king. And so it says, "You've made me reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude. You know, a wise person, the first bet, he understands his station in life and understands how big tasks are. How many times you raise your hands, I can do that, and then all of a sudden, that's not being wise. Verse 10, he says, give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I might go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart. See, wisdom is not up here, it's down here. And thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. You know something? You know why God gave this to him? Because it was God's will. Solomon asked something that was right in line with what God wanted. God wants good leaders. He wants people that will lead his people. He wants good churches that will lead his people. And people who worship him in spirit and truth. And he says, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. And so Solomon writes three books attested to him. One's Proverbs. We already know what a proverb is. And I would challenge you that if you don't have a regular Bible study, that you just take a chapter of Proverbs, take today's date, and read that chapter of Proverbs. In a month, you'll go all the way through it. Well, what about those 30-day months? Then read 30 and 31, okay? It's easy. Have some wisdom to do this. But you know something? Wisdom is not what you say, and wisdom can be lost. You could act like a fool and be the smartest man on the planet. That's what happened with Solomon. Solomon married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. That's not very smart. But the issue is, the Bible says that those wives, those women, turned his heart away from God. Made him do things that oppressed the people. His son learned about it too. His son Rehoboam lost the kingdom. So within one generation, the wisdom of Solomon had come to naught. It still existed. It's still the truth. But it had come to nothing. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He's talking about all these things that he tried to find peace and happiness in. And then in the end he says, here's a conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Follow Him. That's what I should have been doing all my life. That's what we should do today and tomorrow and next week and for the rest of our lives, Christian. So, we're going to be looking at Proverbs. But before we go to the Scripture this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we just ask, thank You, Lord, for giving wisdom. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. Lord, we just ask that Your Word will change us today, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be wise. Father, help us now, Lord. Take away all distractions, bind Satan on our behalf, Lord, and let Your Holy Spirit fill this place. Let us be attentive. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our passage this morning, in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So he wrote these things after he had asked God for wisdom, and God had granted this. He says, why are these Proverbs here? It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. There's some big words in there. We're going to talk about them here in a minute. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in this passage this morning, we see three main things. First of all, we see five benefits that the wise see in wisdom. The wise see five benefits of wisdom. The wise actually believe in wisdom is the second point. And then the last point is where is the beginning of wisdom? So in our first point here, we look at verses 2 and 4, and we see five things that the wise see as benefits of wisdom. You know, we don't do anything in our lives unless we see a what? We see some payoff or some benefit for us. And so Solomon has gotten all this wisdom, and now he wants to pass it on. He says, there's benefit in here. And the first thing that we see here in verse 2 for the wise, and the benefit of being wise is to know. The word for to know here is to have knowledge or in itself to be wise. See, and then he goes on and he lists things that we need to know. The first thing we need to know is wisdom. It's better translated as he who has wisdom is wise. It doesn't matter what you say you are, it's who you are. And it's an issue from your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, Solomon gives this. He says, wisdom is the what? Principal thing. If you don't take anything else out of this, you need to take out, there's wisdom out there and I need it. Wisdom is the principal thing and it's precious. You go through the first four chapters of Proverbs, it talks as more precious than gold, most precious than silver, more precious than rubies, more precious than precious stones. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So the first benefit of wisdom is to know wisdom itself. The second thing is to know instruction. Now, this is not being taught. This is actually in the context of being disciplined. You know, a wise person is metered. A wise person has everything in boundaries and it doesn't go off the deep end or goes bonkers, you know, back and forth off the walls. In the next verse here, in Proverbs 1:8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. I can tell you, kids, how you can be foolish thinking that you know more than mom and dad. Kid, Christian, I can tell you how to be foolish thinking that you know more than God. But you know, there are people that do that. Maybe some of us have done it in our own life. But the issue is to understand that He's God and we're not. We need to listen to Him. And when we need to listen to Him, we need to do the things He says. Kids, do what your parents say. Tell my father, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You say you love mom and dad, you don't do what they say, you're basically saying I don't love you. We say that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, we don't do the things He says, we're saying that we don't love Him. But see, the wise man knows. The wise man knows what wisdom is. The wise man knows what discipline is. Oh, folks, we need that in our lives right now. Oh, I tell you what, there's so many things trying to rip us apart and take us in so many different directions. We need to stay on the right path, the narrow way. Listen to the small voice. This is the way. Walk ye in it. So the first benefit is to know. The second benefit is to perceive. Of being wise is to perceive the words of understanding. Now, to perceive the words of understanding, the first thing you need to understand, you need to understand the words yourself. There's a lot of people that they think they know something, and in reality, they have no clue what they're talking about. Just turn on the TV. You can see that every day. Or when you have to give an answer and you have to read a book. You don't know what the answer is. You're just reading what somebody else said. Folks, to know, to be truly wise, you need to understand the words of this book.
Amen.
You must know the words yourself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, this is what we want our kids to know. Why don't we do the same thing? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, I guarantee you will never know something unless you read it. You'll never know something unless you study it. You never know something unless you make it part of your life. If your entire Christian experience is coming to church on Sunday morning and not looking at God's Word during the week and not thinking about God, you are missing the boat. You are not being wise. So to perceive what the Bible says, you need to know it. You need to want to know it. And then the second thing is you must discern if others have the same understanding as you do about God's Word. Maybe not the same understanding as you do, but what God's Word really means. The Bible tells me this. No scripture of a private interpretation. It's universal in scope. And we need to understand that. I get concerned when people start preaching something. They say, for years I've been preaching, but this is really what it means. Be very concerned about that, folks. The Bible needs to be looked at in the biblical sense of other verses. And that's where it goes. See, there were a bunch of religious leaders in Jesus' day. They were called scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and everything else. And they thought they were the smartest dudes on the planet. They thought they knew God's Word in and out. Here's the Son of God standing right in front of them who wrote the Old Testament. And they didn't understand it. They called him the son of the devil. They called him doing things by the power of the devil. Okay? And Christ calls him out. Luke chapter 12 verse 46. He says, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that ye do not discern this time? Folks, how is it that we as Christians are living in a world where Christ is coming back and we're not doing anything about it? That's not being wise. That's not being wise. We can discern the time. Redeeming the time for the what? The days are evil. Walking circumspectly. Understanding that. But we got to do it in a different sense with true spiritual wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 13 through 14, Paul's writing here to this church. A church is very carnal. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, get your thinking out of this and get faith in its place. Amen. Get faith in this place. So the first benefit is to know. The second benefit is to perceive. The third benefit is to take hold onto instruction. That's what the word here says, to receive the instruction. The word to receive means to seize or to take out of someone's hand or to take hold of. Folks, it's time to start holding on to the truth and holding on to things that are wise. So we need to take hold on instruction. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 13. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy what? Life. The Bible is everything we need for life and godliness. So what are we supposed to take hold on? We're supposed to take hold on instruction in wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It's time to stop being a superficial Christian and understand the fundamental truths of God's Word. Amen. See, that's wisdom. That's how you can apply it right. That's how you can live it right. That's how you can do it. But you'd have to know it. You have to perceive it. Then you can take fast hold on it. So take hold on instruction and wisdom. Take hold on instruction and justice. Better translated as righteousness or being a just person. A just person is someone that does righteousness. In Hosea chapter 10 verse 12 it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You know something? You'll never be righteous unless you plant the seeds of righteousness in your life. You'll never be righteous unless you allow the righteous seeds that are in your life to grow. And God's the way it grows. That's being wise. We need to take hold fast of instruction on wisdom. We need to take hold fast of instruction on justice. We need to take hold fast on instruction in judgment. In judgment. In John chapter 7, verse 24, Christ has been asked to make judgments on things. He says, no! He says, this is what you need to do. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You can't be righteous unless you know. And then you can't use, and you have to use the scripture wisely. I have heard so many people take scripture out of context and twist it to their use because they want to justify their position. And their position is wrong. They're being fools. They're being fools. Take hold on instruction in judgment and do righteous judgment. The last one here in verses 2 and 4 talks about equity. You know, we hear a lot about equity today. You know something? If we just did the right thing, we wouldn't have to worry about this. You know, God's no respecter of persons. James says we're not supposed to have this faith of God with respect to persons. But if we just treat everybody equally and love our neighbor as ourselves and love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll do the right thing. No, but it's so hard to find anymore. You know, you consider Job. In Job chapter 1, you know, Satan goes around and he's looking at all these people going down, face the earth, you know, to and from the earth. He comes up before God. And God singles Job out. And he says, have you considered my servant Job, a man who is upright in all his ways? He's equitable. He eschews evil and sins not. He hates that. And God can only name one guy. What about the others that are on the earth? You know, Christ has said when Christ comes back, he says, well, I found what? Faith on the earth. He says, your faith's got to exceed the faith of these Pharisees. Your righteousness got to exceed that. Oh. So to know, to perceive, to take hold on instruction and wisdom and in justice and judgment and in equity. And then to be, I give you a verse, okay? Proverbs 8:6, it says here, for I will speak of what? Excellent things, and the opening of my mouth shall be what? Right things. That's the equity word again. We have one in the New Testament, it's called Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, holy, just, righteous, virtuous, be any praise, what? Think on these things. So the wise see the benefits of wisdom to take hold on instruction and equity. In verse 4 it says that it'll give subtlety to the simple. Now, what does subtlety mean? To be prudent. What does prudence mean? To be cautious. You know, Peter demonstrated sometimes that he didn't do that. How many times have we opened our mouth and then we say something and we, I want to get that back? We've all done that, haven't we? Okay? The Bible says that we're supposed to be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. See, because we don't know the Bible, there are people that are Christians that will fall for anything out there right now. And they start following men instead of God. Because that sounds good. And that's how they get off in cults. My Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, don't fall for everything. We need to follow the truth. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are what? They are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Okay? Are gone out into the world. And then here's one especially for the kids. I find it interesting that all the kids are gone now. Knowledge and discretion for the young person. See, Solomon's writing this stuff. He was trained by David. Now he wants to give it off to everybody else. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 99, it says, and I have more understanding than all my teachers. See, that's the desire of all kids, right? Be smarter teachers. You think you are that way, and you find out that you're not. But the Bible says here, if we know God's word, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11, it says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You know something? If your back of your mind says, I shouldn't do these things, don't do it. Yeah, that doesn't sound right. It's not right. God gave you that as a protection mechanism. It says, discretion shall preserve thee. You know, how many times have we gotten in trouble because we followed the wrong crowd? So the wise see the benefits of wisdom to know, to perceive, to take hold on instruction, to be prudent. And you can start out young. You don't have to be old to be like this. I know some pretty wise children right now. So, in verses 5 and 6, we see that the wise believe in wisdom. What does this believe mean? It means they see the benefit and they're going to dedicate their lives to growing that in their life. Peter writes, it says, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your what? Faith. Folks, we need to start growing in Christ. We need to be spiritually mature. In verses 5 and 6, it says, a wise man will what? Hear. Hear this morning, church. Hear this morning. You need to listen to this. This is what we need to do. Hear and increase learning. See, our belief in wisdom is shown in the amount that we want to increase our learning in wisdom. And if you're just happy being the way you are, then you're not being wise. You've not seen the benefits of wisdom. And so you need to have increased learning. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet what? Wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So a wise man will hear and increase his wisdom. A wise man will hear and take wise advice. You know, you need to see if people that give you advice are in it for you or in it for themselves. There's a lot of people that are in it for themselves. God's in it for you. And I guarantee you seek advice from God and His Word, you're going to find the right answer.
Right.
But you got to listen. You got to listen. We'll attain unto wise counsel. It's basically you're going to take sound advice. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know, everything that we should do is to make us wise. We should be more wise tomorrow than we are today. We should have more faith tomorrow than we have today. We should be more active for God tomorrow than we are today. See, that shows that you actually believe in this stuff. Leads to increased learning that will help us to take wise advice. And then lastly, is to understand spiritual truths. This word is translated as proverb in verse 1. It's also translated as parable in the word of Ezekiel. And we know what a parable is. A parable is a story that has a spiritual truth behind it. And remember what happened with Christ. Christ preached the Sermon on the Mount. And did everybody, yay, we're going to do this. No, they didn't. They didn't do it at all. And then he started saying, hey, I'm not going to give you the answer. You need to find this out. You need to search for it. And folks, to be wise, you need to search for this thing. A wise man will hear and increase learning, will take wise advice and understand spiritual truth. It says here, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let's quit being superficial Christians again. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, Christ is saying this. He says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the what? Mystery of the kingdom of God." You know, today, for some of you, God is still a mystery. Shouldn't be. We have his word. The mystery of God is this. God took on the form of man. Was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, fulfilled God's law, showed what it did to what it meant to live in the Spirit of God. And it was he took the place of a murderer on the cross, representing our sin. He died on the cross for the penalty of our sin. He was buried for 3 days. They killed God. No, they didn't. The mystery comes 3 days later. He rose again from the dead.
Amen.
He rose again from the dead. And now he gives life to all who will believe.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the mystery. That was the whole Old Testament.
Amen.
And they didn't understand. The religious leaders didn't understand. And Christ said, look, you can discern the sky, you can discern the earth, but you can't understand. I'm standing right in front of you, the fulfillment of Scripture. Oh, folks, the Spirit today is here. He said, he spake unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in what? Parables. All these things done in parables. So the wise see the five benefits of wisdom: to know, to perceive, to take hold, to be prudent, to have knowledge and discretion from your early ages. The wise believe and listen and wisdom so much that they'll lead to increased learning. Take wise advice. Don't believe everything you say or hear. And then understand spiritual truth. And the wise know the beginning of wisdom. There's only one source of salvation. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's only one source of life. That's Jesus Christ, and that's God.
Amen.
There's only one source of wisdom. That's God.
Amen.
It says here, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Is the beginning of knowledge. Okay? What does the fear mean? It's to be scared. If you live your life scared of God, you're living in sin. I don't live my life scared of God. I love him. Now, I understand there's consequences if I do something wrong. But if I live my life in fear, I will be defeated all the time. Perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment.
That's right.
See, this is to show respect and reverence for God. We need to do it in our attendance. We need to do it in our actions while we're here. We need to do it in our actions when we're out of this building. So the fear of the Lord, its meaning is to reverence and to respect and to love. Its methods are threefold. The first one is to work anytime, even in trouble. The person that went through the most trial and torment in his life was Job. And we see about the fear of the Lord in his life. In Job chapter 28, verse 28, it says, and he said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is what? Wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. Now, Job had some things to learn. But he was willing to learn. And he did learn. You know, we have a lot of things to learn. How hard-headed are we that we don't learn? So the first one is, it's there all the time. The fear of the Lord is there all the time. It's there all the time that you need it, especially in trouble. The second thing is, the fear of the Lord in our life basically witnesses our commitment. Witnesses one's commitment to his commandments. In Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that what? Do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. It's time to be a Christian in action and not in name only.
Amen.
Not in name only. See, if we're just a name only, where's our commitment? See, God's law is still the law. But he says, if you love me, you're going to keep the law. So the point is that if we don't do what God tells us to, we just go out and actively sin and do things against God's word. We don't love Him. We don't respect Him. We don't fear Him.
Right.
We're foolish. Witnesses one's commitment to His concerns, capital H, God's concerns. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." You call yourself a Christian. You say you're wise and you're liking things that God hates. You're not. You're not. Folks, we need to hate evil, not embrace it.
Right.
We need to hate pride, not display it. We need to be humble, not arrogant. And be teachable in all these things. So we need to understand that its methods are, it works anytime, even in trouble. And the second thing is this witnesses one's commitment. How much of the fear of the Lord do you have in your life this morning? It withstands the test of time. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9, it says this, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." It's not situational ethics, folks. God's truth is absolute truth. Period. And if you start putting your thinking on it, that's why we have all these religions today. Because people didn't like this piece and this piece. Now make it like this, so I feel better. That's not being wise. To be not wise is to be foolish. And the last method is it warns those who despise it. In verse 7 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you go from this place today saying, "Well, that guy is off his rocker. I don't believe anything. I'm going to go out and do my own thing," then you are foolish. Your warning is a warning. In Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." See, if you don't have the fear, respect, and reverence and love for God, then you're basically saying there is no God. God's good enough for the things that I want Him to, but He's not God all the time. Therefore, He's not God.
Right.
"So the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." So the wise know the benefits of wisdom. The wise believe in it. And they follow it. The wise know where it begins. It begins with the fear of the Lord. Do you know the being of wisdom? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, I'll close with this scripture. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You got to trust in the Lord. It's the same word as to believe. Believe in the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I tell you what, you'll be wise this morning if you receive Him as your Savior, if you haven't done that. If you don't know if you're going to heaven or not, the wisest thing you could do today is to receive Him as your Savior. And say, "Christ, save me. Take me from the punishment of hell and give me a home in heaven." That's the best thing. Christian, the thing that we need to do is to do the things here about being wise. We need to follow Him. We need to be disciplined in this. We need to trust in the Lord. It's our choice. We have a choice to be wise or a choice to be foolish. Which do you want to do today? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask You this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts. And Father, just help us, Lord, just to be wise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.